Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to be preaching to you today out of Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 34. If you want to go ahead and get there, you can feel free. The message that I want to preach to you today is titled, When Proximity Isn't Enough. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that your word is sharper than any double-edged sword. I thank you that your word is alive. I thank you that your word is active. Lord, I thank you that I get to come up here and preach your word this morning. Father, I pray that you receive the glory for it, that you would be exalted this morning. God, that your word would move and not my word. God, let today be 100% of you, 0% of me. And God, I pray ultimately that you'd have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It is so good to see each and every one of you guys this morning. If you don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Brian. I have the honor and privilege of dealing with our teenagers every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. I love it. It's the pride and joy of my life. One of the greatest things I get to do is hang out with our teenagers. If you have a teenager and they're not attending youth group, I encourage you. Every Wednesday night, we open our doors at 6:30. We have snack, fun, fellowship, and we dive into the Word. So if they're not there on Wednesday nights, I'd encourage you, don't let them miss out anymore on the good things that God is doing. Amen? Amen. Amen. My youngest daughter just turned one. And man, what an honor and privilege. She is getting big and beautiful. And she's so wonderful. She brings our family so much joy. And the reason why I mention this is because when she was first born in December of last year, she ended up getting diagnosed with RSV. Very early. She was about 2 weeks old when she got diagnosed with RSV. At that age, it can be very deadly. So we took her to the hospital. She was on oxygen tubes helping her breathe. She had a feeding tube stuck into her, and she was battling. How many of you know we serve a faithful God? Amen. The reason why I say this is because I had gotten into the routine. Hannah was staying up there with the baby, making sure the baby was taken care of, that she was never alone, and that she just had a mother's touch nearby. Amen. The church was very grateful. This was gracious. This was over a time of holiday break and pastor working with me to make sure I was able to be there for my family. Forever thankful for that. And so I spent the morning with the kids every day. And about halfway through the day, I would take the kids up there for an hour so the kids could sit with Hannah in the lobby and I could have peace. I meant time with my daughter in the room. Amen. That was supposed to be a joke. It's going to be a good crowd this morning. And when Hannah was up there, we would get in this routine. This went on for about 2 weeks. Well, about halfway through this process, me and the kids, we were having a bit of a rough morning. How many of you know, 2 and 4 can fight a little bit? Amen. And so we were going through the process, and one morning I was getting ready to walk up into the hospital. We park in the parking garage. We walk through the same hallway every day. We go to the same elevator every day. We go to the same floor, the same check-in process, and you get into a little bit of a routine of understanding what comes next. And so typical morning, we start, we park in the parking garage, and we're walking through the hallway. I've got Isla in this hand, Hayes in this hand. We're kind of bantering around, joking, having fun. And I look up, and in front of me is a 6'5", very handsome Jaguars defensive end named Joshua Hines Allen. Now, the reason why I say, I know what you're thinking, two Jaguar sermons in back-to-back weeks. The Jags spanked the Broncos last week. I've got to keep this train going a little bit, right? Like, if that's what it takes for a good win, I'm going to do it. Amen? No, I'm totally joking. I look up and I see a superstar defensive end, one of my favorite players for the Jags. And I see him. Hey, how you doing? And I just keep walking. And this is where it gets a little weird, right? Because in my mind, I've always thought to myself, man, if I ever seen someone like Josh Allen in person, I wouldn't fangirl or nothing, but man, I would honor him. Man, I'm so thankful for what you do for the Jags. I'm so thankful for what you mean to the city and the joy that you bring us. I've almost always had this mind that if I ever got close enough to one of these guys to have a conversation, you kind of have these premeditated things that you expect to say. Instead, I simply walk right past him. I go up to the room and I'm like, Hannah, you'll never believe who I just saw. Josh Hines Allen. She's like, what? What'd you say? Hey? Hey? What do you mean you said that was it? What'd he say? He said, hey. Like, That was what had happened. You see, the issue was, I always thought what I would do if I got in the moment, if I ever got close enough to that person, if I was ever in proximity of them, I had things that I was prepared to say, but rather than expecting to actually get into proximity, I walked right past him and I never truly encountered him. The truth is, you can be so close to someone and still not encounter them. That's true in life, but it's also true spiritually. Mark chapter 5 shows us when everyone was close to Jesus, but only one person truly encountered him. And the difference was not proximity, but it was expectation. And that's what I'm here to preach to you about this morning. If you would join me in Mark chapter 5, we're going to go from 21 all the way to 34, and then we're going to break it down a little bit. You guys ready to dive into the Word? You guys sound like a Bible-believing church almost. You guys ready to dive into the Word? Amen. It says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Remember, we begin to feel a little bit of the urgency of the story here. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she fell on in her body, or she, I'm sorry, she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered. And yet you can ask who touched me? I feel almost a little bit of attitude here, right? How, probably wasn't full of attitude. It just feels like it when we read it in our American culture. What do you mean who touched you, right? It feels a little bit of attitude. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. I want to set the scene for us a little bit. Jesus is just getting back. He says he's crossed over by the lake, and he encounters a synagogue leader named Jairus. And Jairus is pleading with Jesus. I have a daughter at home. She's dying. I hear about who you are and the things you have done, and I may not know much, but here's what I do know. I have a daughter dying, and they say you're a healer. There's urgency building in this story. And what does Jesus do? Jesus does what Jesus does. He agrees to go with him, right? You can sense it, feel it, the Father begging for Jesus' help. And in verse 24, it tells us what happens next. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. I think the word pressed matters more than we realize a little bit in this story. So my first point to you would be this, the press of the crowd. If you're taking notes with me, that's in your bulletin this morning. The press of the crowd. And I want us to begin to sense a little bit the proximity without expectation and seeing what's happening here in the story. We sense that Mark is trying to tell us with this word press that it's almost like to compress something or to crowd tightly, almost to like suffocate. You ever been in a room so compact, it's almost like I can't move, can't walk, can't wiggle. I just really, I don't know if I could breathe anymore, right? Like, except imagine that out in the open, right? Like this same sense of feeling. Jesus isn't just being followed, but Jesus is being surrounded. Jesus isn't just being followed. People are bumping into him, touching him, brushing past him. And yet what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. People are brushing and touching, and look, even the disciples are shocked. People are running and rubbing all past them, and yet nothing happens. No healing, no transformation, no encounter. Here's the uncomfortable truth for us this morning. You can be close to Jesus, but still not encounter Jesus. You can be close to Jesus and still not encounter Jesus. Listen, the crowd was there. but the crowd was there to observe. The crowd was there, but the crowd just wanted to be near. The crowd was there, but they just wanted to see what might happen. But no one came expecting something personal for them. How many of you in the crowd have teenagers at home? Maybe grandchildren, children. They live with you, right? If you have teenagers at home, you could probably sense a little bit of what this is like to be in proximity but lack a little bit in relationship, right? If you see this and you know what this feels like, you can live in the same house, share the same space, pass each other every day, and yet kind of feel like there's a little bit of distance. You exchange some information, but you don't exchange much intention. Probably not because you don't desire a relationship with your teenager, I hope, but because your teenager has yet to realize how awesome it is to really hang out with their parents or grandparents. These teenagers are just lost in themselves at the moment and lacking the truth of how great their parents or grandparents truly are. And so they find themselves in a bit of an isolation phase of life, and you pass by each other, you share the space, but you don't share the same intention. The same proximity, different posture. I'll say it again. Same proximity, different posture. And proximity without intention never produces intimacy. You could be in the same space, but if you're not intentional about relationships, you'll never have what? Intimacy with each other. I don't know what I was doing with my hands. It felt right. But then I was like, whoa, what's that? I kind of woke up in the middle of it. I was like, whoa, what's going on there? If we aren't careful, church can quietly become the same way. Hear me this morning, church. The danger is not that Jesus isn't present. It's that we're present without expectation. The danger is not that Jesus didn't show up to church this morning. The danger is I showed up to church, but I wasn't expecting nothing to happen. That can become the danger if we aren't careful. And then Mark introduces us to someone different. My second point for you this morning would be the persistence of faith. The persistence of faith. Or I would word it almost like this: expectation that overcomes obstacles. Expectation that overcomes obstacles. Verse 25 tells us that she had been suffering for 12 years. That she had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Think about this. This is not a season. This is not like just a little phase that comes and goes. This has become who she is known as. This has become her identity. This woman's been bleeding for 12 years. This is her life. And Mark tells us, he's intentional. She'd seen many doctors, spent everything she had, and she's gotten worse instead of better. But there's more even happening beneath the surface that's being implied. Pastor does a great job of breaking this down in his Mark series, in Mark part 2, if you want to go check it out. It's a great sermon. I'd encourage you. But even Pastor will tell us what's happening is there's almost, even in Leviticus 15, this woman is deemed ceremonially unclean. What does that mean? That means this woman's not allowed to worship in public. That means she couldn't touch other people. This means she has been living isolated and ashamed of who she was. This has become her life. Unclean. Hear me. Obstacle after obstacle after obstacle in her way. And I think about us this morning. How many of you had to overcome obstacles to get here? I got 3 kids, y'all. I won't say anything else. We got the crowd going a little bit. They're waking up. Some of us, but look, even more than just kids, some of us have had very serious obstacles. And yet verse 27 says, when she heard about Jesus. When she heard about Jesus. You see, expectation begins oftentimes with what we believe about him. When she had heard about Jesus, she heard the things that he was doing. She heard the things that he was known for. Expectation often begins with what we believe about Jesus. Because if you can believe who Jesus is, if I believe Jesus is a healer, I'm going to show up to church on Sunday morning expecting healing. But if I've become accustomed to the fact that Jesus is a healer and it's no longer true in my life, then I fear we can show up to church on Sunday morning, believe Jesus is a healer of other people, but Jesus isn't going to heal me. I fear that if we're not careful, we can believe something about Jesus and not have the expectation. Expectations begin with what we believe or know about him. We can believe Jesus is a healer, but I don't know if he came to heal me. And that begins to what? Temper our expectations. When she heard about Jesus, then verse 28 says, because she thought. Other versions of this would say, she kept saying to herself. Because she thought, or she kept saying to herself. In the Greek, this is a continuous action. She thought. She didn't think it one time in the thought past. She continually thought. She was preaching hope to herself internally over and over and over. She thought, or she continued to say to herself. Hear me, this is not hype. This isn't coming to church one time and expecting hype to happen. This is resolve in our life. Why? Because every adult in this room knows the inner voice and that inner conversation that comes against you. The voice that says, don't hope too much. It's okay to have dreams and hopes and wishes and desires, but not too much. Because you've had big, big hopes before and it didn't go exactly the way you anticipated it to go. And why would you hope so much again? Or you've tried before. I mean, is it really worth trying this Jesus thing? I mean, the last time you went, nothing big happened. Like, is it really, you'll just be disappointed again. All of us have wrestled with, I mean, maybe it's just me. Nobody's, Pastor Jesse's agreeing with me. We're here, buddy. We're here. Faith doesn't eliminate that voice immediately, but faith does speak louder than that voice. Faith does say, listen, I may have tried before, but Jesus is the one who is, listen, sometimes the greatest act of faith is what you tell yourself before you take the step. Sometimes the greatest act of faith is what you say before you step. And this is where the story meets us today. Because today isn't just any other Sunday. Today is the last Sunday of the year, right? Today is, next Sunday, it's going to be 2026. That sounds weird to say, but it's true. Next Sunday, it'll be 2026, which means many of us are standing between what has been, hello, and what's to come. What has been, and I don't really know what's next, right? Some of us are hopeful for this next season of life. Some of us are tired. Whew. Sorry. Nobody else agrees. I'll keep my hand down. Bad breath. Some of us are carrying things in our life that we have not been expecting to carry this long. 12 years. 12 years. And the temptation at the end of the year is to have a tempered or a guarded expectation of the great things that are to come in our life. It's easy to say, look, 2025 was not what I hoped for, so why would I hope again? I had big expectations for 2025, and about a quarter of the way through, my expectations were not going as high as I have thought. So the last 9 months, I've kind of suffered again, rather than continually expecting God to do big things. I'll keep my hopes realistic this year. How many of you guys have ever thought this? I'll just keep my hopes realistic. If I can see, you know, whatever it is in my life, I just don't want to be disappointed again. But I want us to take notice something big in this story. This woman heard and believed and continually thought that Jesus was going to heal her. But she really didn't know for a fact. Hear me. This woman had no clue how Jesus was really going to react when she touched him. She had no real clue if risking, go, look, there's big risk happening in this woman's life. If she is noticed in the crowd, a woman who is ceremonially unclean, there is consequences to be had. There are obstacles in the way. And she doesn't even know what's going to happen if she actually touches Jesus. What if she touches Jesus and gets rebuked for it? Ugh. What are you doing touching me, you unclean woman? Right? Like, she doesn't know truly what's going to happen, but she has an expectation of what's going to happen.
I expect that if I touch Jesus, I will be healed. Hear me. She doesn't know how Jesus will respond, but she does know who Jesus is. She doesn't know how he'll respond, but I do know who he is. Her expectation is not tied to a calendar. How do I know this? Because the last 12 calendars got thrown in the trash, right? Her expectation is not tied to, well, I'm going into the new year. Maybe this will be the year I start. That's not her thought process. Maybe it is for some of us. My expectation is tied to, hey, new year, new me. Congratulations. I hope it's true for you this year. I'm expecting God to do big things in your life. That's not a joke. I'm not being funny right now. It may sound funny because I've got a funny voice. But I'm serious. I'm expecting in 2026, God is going to do great things in your life. You got to believe it. You've got to have expectation that God is going to do something big. Hear me. Her expectation isn't tied to a calendar. It's tied to a person and what she believes about that person. And the invitation for us is not just the new year. The invitation for us is every Sunday. Every Sunday I can show up and expect God to do something big in church. I want to be very careful here. When is the last time you showed up on a Sunday morning and prayed before church that Sunday morning? When's the last time you showed up to church expecting God to move in your life and in the life of others? When's the last time you spoke life to Jesus before coming to church? Because when I show up with expectation, guess what God can do? Blow my expectation out the water. Because God is so much bigger than anything I could ever dream of. God is so much stronger than I could ever imagine. And here's my big picture. What if we showed up every Sunday expecting God to do big things and God actually blew our expectations out the water? Like, how crazy would it be if we showed up and we expected healings on Sunday mornings and God brought healings? How crazy would it be if we came and expected families to be restored and families were restored? How crazy would it be if we said 2026 will be the year that I get to financial freedom, not just because God wills it into existence, but because I'm going to receive the wisdom that I need in my life in 2026, right? What if 2026 is the year for us of expectation in every area of our life? Hear me, church. I'm not up here to bring hype. I'm not up here to preach guarantees. I'm up here to tell you, expectation is great to have in the Lord. Why? Because point number three, and I would say this, the power of the encounter. There's power in the encounter that we're about to receive. In fact, I'd even say it like this. I want us to look at the expectation that receives more than expected. Well, that sounds good. I'll say it again. The expectation that receives more than expected. Verse 30 kind of gives us this image that Jesus stops. Like, Jesus is in pursuit. Jesus is going to heal this girl. And yet in this moment, he is touched. And what does he do? He stops. It says, in fact, that he feels power leaving him, right? The disciples are confused. Jesus is like, who did that? What? What is this guy talking about? Who touched you? Jesus, everybody here touched you, dude. Everybody. You're pressed around. Who touched? Jesus is like, look, I'm thinking about a deeper touch, right? Like, who encountered me? You see the crowd pressing. How can you ask who touched me? Only one person touched him with expectation. Pastor Jesse, you can go ahead and come up. But then he says something remarkable. He looks at this young lady, and he addresses her with a word. Does anybody remember the word? Daughter. He looks at her, and he says, daughter. And here's what's special about this. You can fact check me on it, because you should. Every sermon you hear, you should fact check, not because you're trying to prove a pastor wrong, but because you want God to speak to you in the word as well. In the Gospels, Jesus only refers to one person as daughter. And it's this story. You'll see it three times over three different gospels, but it's the same story. Jesus looks at her and he says, daughter. Why is this big? Because we know Jesus heals her body, but so much more than that. Jesus restores her dignity. Over 2025, some of you have lost a little bit of dignity in your life, and I'm here to tell you Jesus is able to restore it. He restored her body, yes. He restored her dignity, yes. But he also restored her identity. For some of you in 2025, your identity's wavered a little bit. Your identity in Christ has maybe wavered, but I have news for you. You ready? Jesus restores identity. He looks at her and he says, daughter. She wasn't just healed physically, but she was restored and made what? Whole. Expectation that receives more than expected. I decided to be a little nostalgic this Christmas season. You guys are like, what does this guy mean? I mean, I braved the stores this year. I didn't Amazon order but a few gifts. And I know what you're thinking. This guy was worried his gifts wouldn't be here on time. He waited too late to order. And that may be true. But I was still ready to brave the stores and have an experience. And let me say, it was an experience. God forbid you find yourself during the Christmas season inside of a Walmart. Let me tell you. Because I found myself there 3 times this Christmas season. And one of these times, I'm in the store and I've got my family with me, and going anywhere with 3 kids is amazing. Jesus grows you every time. Anywhere you go, especially restaurants. We're just throwing it out there. Don't ask me why. Have 3 kids, you'll know why. Amen. And as we're braving this store, we're going through and it's crowded and people are just rude and almost like ramming you out of the aisles with their carts. And I'm just praying the whole time. Sometimes I start praying in tongues to freak people out. That's totally a joke. Totally a joke. But as we've braved this store, we're getting to the end and my feet are hurting. I'm exhausted. It's like our 5th store of the day. I'm ready to go home. My kids are crashing out. I'm in a big crowd. All the lines are insane. And all I hear out of nowhere is, hey, yo, pastor. And I'm like, I know that voice. And I kind of look around. No, over here. I look around again and I see, I don't know if he's in the room. Is Rob in the room? Up there. I see Rob and Dana. In the crowd. And they saw me in the crowd. I was trying to hope to find them in the crowd. They're in the balcony. And they come up and they say hey to me and my family. And what's special about it is this. There's something just special about being in a crowd full of random people and being seen. There's just something special about being in a crowded place and being acknowledged. There's something special about being in a place where there's so many people and yet being felt. And that's the exact moment that we feel for this woman in this story. She's in a crowded place. She's been hurting for so long. She has high expectations, yet after failure, after failure, after failure, she still thinks to herself, I've got no money. I've got no hope. I'm broke. Come on, this sounds like me going into 2026. I have got nothing left. I'm sorry. I'm just joking. I promise. And what happens? Jesus sees her. There's this encounter that happens. There's an exchanging of power. There's a healing that happens. There's a restoration that happens. And here's what I have to say, church. We've got to be careful that we show up to church not expecting restoration in our life week after week. Why? Because I'm showing up to church, other people are being restored, and I'm missing it. I'm thinking Jesus doesn't love me, but the truth is I don't have any expectation for Jesus to meet. Expectation that gets more than expected. Expectation that gets more than expected. She came for healing, but Jesus gave her wholeness. I see you, daughter. The crowd brushing past Jesus, but expectation reached him. Church, the danger is not routine. The danger isn't going through the same patterns. What I would tell you this morning is this: routine is good. The danger is going through routine without expectation. The danger is going through routines without expecting something to happen. Hear me, going to church, that being a part of your routine, is a good thing. Keep it up. Those of you who've been to church all 4 weeks this month, ain't God good? Come on, Ain't God so good? You've made church a routine for you, and that's a good thing. That's great. But be careful not to allow your routine to be routine without expectation. Routine keeps us faithful, but expectation leads to encounter. My fear for us is that we can say out loud, man, if I encounter Jesus, if I saw him, if Jesus was here in this room right now, Pastor, we'd have a great conversation. If I could see him right here, it'd be great. I got news for you. Jesus is here. My fear is we have this mindset, if I encounter Jesus, we'd have a great conversation, but you'd find yourself just like me on a random Saturday morning, walking past someone that you've had a premeditated conversation with 10 times. And what you do is instead of talking to the person and honoring them and telling them what they mean to you, you decide to, hey, okay, have a good one. My fear is that we have this almost premeditated, if I encounter Jesus, but we don't have an actual expectation of encountering Jesus. Do you hear me this morning, church? We've got to begin to expect moves of the Lord. Hear me, I'm not saying just on big Sundays. I'm not saying just once a year Sundays. I'm not saying Christmas service and Easter service. Man, we should expect a move of God. And Mother's Day services. Come on, Mother's Day is always packed because people love showing up for their mama. Amen. I love you, Mama. My mom's in the crowd today. Amen. But what happens? I want us to, if we walk away with anything, remember this. Proximity is not enough. We need expectation. Why? Because expectation still turns proximity into an encounter. And Jesus still responds to faith today, just like he did in Mark chapter 5. I want us to all stand up this morning.
Thank you for watching our video. If you liked it, share it with a friend and subscribe to our channel. We go live every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can also support us by clicking the Give button. This allows us to continue to impact our community as well as help missions across the globe with the love of Jesus Christ. Thanks again for watching.